Praise God. Well, why don't you stand up for a moment? Hallelujah. Are we ready for the word?
Yes.
Let's confess that. Let's say this. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I believe, I receive a fresh impartation from heaven tonight, especially for me. In my heart, I prepare room for it. In my mouth, I prepare room for it. I believe, I receive fresh things in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Why don't you sit down? Hallelujah. I just felt like we just needed to open our hearts and prepare our hearts.
I'm so glad.
Are we all right?
We're good friends.
It was the antenna was sticking out. Praise the Lord. Well, I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. And I believe you've been studying the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm excited about that because I've spent 16 weeks preaching on that this year. Would it be right to do anything less with a year where we're talking about the nine fruit of the Spirit and the nine gift of the Spirit? Right. And so we launched into this, and it took me 16 weeks to get through the fruit of the Spirit because there's so much revelation and so many things were flowing. And I'm going to bring my part tonight and add it to what you guys have already received, to what you've already had imparted to you, and the things that have developed your faith in the fruit of the Spirit. And so I'm not going to try and reteach that to you. I'm not going to really try and even dwell on each of the fruit of the Spirit. I want to bring something that may add to and help expand what you've already received. Does that sound okay? So let's go to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to just read through verses 13 through 26. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Aren't you glad about that? We're not being called to bondage. We've been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Now, this is a wonderful beginning to this passage, because straight away we see the parameters, the dynamic, and even the character of God in operation through which we're going to do these things. Through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit of God, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. What a list. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, and here's the shift, after seeing all of that flesh stuff going on, all of that list, here we go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So he starts out giving the parameters of love, of serving one another in that place of love. And then he finishes there, as every good rabbi does, goes full circle back to the same point of saying, hey, treat each other well. In the process of this, be walking the love walk in all of this. Now to get into this tonight, and the parts that I want to bring out, and what I've been waiting on the Lord, and what I believe God wants to open up to you tonight is the origins of the fruit. When we talk about fruit, we talk about something that grows on the extremities. It's the produce. It's the produce. It's not at the roots. If this was at the root, now God is the vine. God is the root. The Holy Ghost is the root of all of this. Amen. But there is fruit that comes from being rooted and grounded in love. Amen. Rooted and grounded, we could say, in God, who is love. In the Spirit of God, who is the manifestation and the personage of love. And so what happens is we are rooted in love. What should happen is a produce, a fruit. When we go to the produce market, we buy fruit. Well, the fruit is produced on the extremities. So that would be you and me. He's the vine, we are the branches. Where does fruit grow? On the branches. If it was at the vine, if it was at the roots, it would be the vegetables of the Spirit. But it's not. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So this is right on the extremities. So that's you and I. We're the part that communicates and contacts the world. We're the part. The Holy Spirit is not floating around the planet trying to produce this fruit by himself. He works in and through and assists us to produce this. Amen. Praise God. So what is fruit then? This is the interesting study. All that we've looked at, and I know that you've studied in depth the different fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These things you've looked at, you've studied them. But let this expand now as you understand something about what fruit is. Fruit doesn't just appear on the supermarket shelves. It has to come from somewhere. So where does this come from? What is the origins of this? Let's examine this and let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah. You know, I could start almost every sermon in Genesis chapter 1. It's a wonderful place to understand. Why? Because it's the genesis of everything. It's the beginnings of everything. Hallelujah. We see faith in operation right from the very beginning. We see the Word of God released and the creative power of those words which brought everything into being. We see light released. Hallelujah. And so Genesis 1 verse 11, then God said, now listen carefully, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind. Now keep that in mind, that's important. Whose seed is in itself. So in other words, it's self-replicating. On the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Well, God is good. Amen. And goodness within God has a self-replicating power. Now, the origin of the fruit is the seed. Did you see that? Yes. And within the seed is seed. It has the capacity to self-replicate. So what are we talking about? Well, the image of the original is contained within the seed. We might call this the DNA. And it's self-replicating. Now DNA or deoxyribonucleic acid, which is what that DNA means, it is an amazing study in and of itself. When you get into it, we may have some scientists. I'm certainly not one, so forgive me. I've done some research and some study on this because it just is exciting. It's just kind of really interesting. And so you look on this, and here's what you find if you were to Google. Even if you just Google, I mean, you can go a lot further than Google. You know, you can't always rely on Google, right? I said this the other night. We need to understand how to Bible it instead of just Google it. Okay, but if you were to just Google it and just get a very basic level understanding, here's what you would find. You would find out the DNA is a self-replicating material present in nearly all living organisms as the main constituent of chromosomes. The fundamental and distinctive characteristics of someone or something, especially when regarded as, now listen to this, unchangeable. Now let me ask you something. What is the source of anything that is unchangeable in this universe. It is God. It is the King of the universe. It is the Olam, or the Eternal. When the Eternal is involved, it keeps on going. It doesn't change. Now, what we can see is changeable. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. That means changeable, subject to change. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Okay, so when we understand the eternal, we start talking about the things of the Spirit, the things that originate in God. They keep going, they don't change, they are unchangeable. So DNA actually is an origin description of what everything begins from, and that is God, that is His Word, that is His creative release. It's interesting, but listen again to some of the things here. Self-replicating. Now, I want you to think about that. Fundamental and distinctive characteristics regarded as unchangeable. So the DNA of something is the fundamental distinctives or the characteristics of that. It's a self-replicating, but in replicating, it stays the same. Kind of messes up evolution. I mean, right there, within a scientific description, it's self-replicating and unchangeable. Well, if it's self-replicating and unchangeable, how can it evolve? Well, that's just a side thought, but anyway, science arguing with itself, right? So basically, let's think about it this way. Apples will always produce apples. All right? Well, dogs will always produce
dogs.
Yeah, okay. Humans will always produce
humans.
And God will always produce. Now, you didn't sound as clear on that one. Is God unchangeable? Yeah, God is unchangeable. God doesn't change. Right? So God will produce God. Come on, let's think about this now. God will always produce God. Now, I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah. Is your heart open? Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Think about the born again experience. Think about what took place when you were born again. 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of, now did you get that? Not of corruptible, or you could say changeable. So to corrupt something would to change its DNA. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. How? Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. That's the eternal. Can you see the DNA in this? So the seed that we have is not corruptible. It's got an eternal dynamic attached to it. And it's by the word of God. Well, Jesus is the Word made flesh. He is that seed. So if we were born again of a seed that is eternal in its basis, non-corruptible, then whose seed are we talking about? God's seed. And God produces? Okay, we need to get clear about this. Now, we're not talking about the everlasting, all-powerful, omniscientness of God. You know, we are talking about, though, children of God. We're talking about sons of God. We are talking about the descendants of God. Amen. Praise God. Because why? Why do we go to Genesis to look at this? Because we look at the original design of the original seed and what that was supposed to replicate. And we come into the New Testament and we see the fruit describe the very characteristics of that. Hallelujah. Praise God. So 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be what? Partakers of what? The divine nature. To partake of the divine nature or the divine characteristics. So we're actually supposed to partake of, not just study, not just observe, not just even enjoy, but to actually participate in, to partake of that which is divine in nature. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The seed that was sown into your spirit when you were born again was not, it was not to fix you up. Paul didn't say, I've been fixed up in Christ. He said, what did he say? I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. It needed the seed that was then going to reproduce what was eternal. And the manifestation of that on the earth was going to come through a fruitfulness that affected the very character of a person so that the power could flow through a vessel that was prepared and useful for the master. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If the fruit's not there, it's going to be a very difficult process of manifestation concerning the power, concerning the gifts or the manifestations of the Spirit. And so we see this seed, this born-again experience that has come from the seed of the Word of God and the eternal. Originally, the likeness of God was reproduced in a clay form. Now, God used clay. Why? Clay was important for God to use because it gave man the authority to live on the earth. It gave a spirit the authority to have feet, to touch the soil, to be a part of and have a basis of communication with the earth itself. It gave us an earth suit to function in. Hallelujah. But a spirit man that was born of the seed of God. And so Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us, well, right there we see God is a relationship. Amen. Let us, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, well, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, as John reveals reveals as the beginning. Let us make man in our image. Well, according to our likeness. Well, you can't get much clearer than that. I mean, right in the first chapter, God's original design, his original intention, his original DNA from man was God's own likeness, image. Praise God. He says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Dominion. God is literally, the words that are being released right now are the same, it's having the same impact, the same power as all of the other, and God said, and God said, and God said. It's the same operation that's in play, and so God is releasing and speaking dominion. In the same way he said, light be, light was. He's releasing his own characteristics into man. He's putting his DNA in there. Verse 27, so God created man. Again, it repeats it. In his own image, in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And that's a beautiful image of the character and nature and the functionality of God as we look at both man and woman in that perfect union. Praise God. So the DNA of God was placed into the natural realm, and the first Son of God existed. Isn't that exciting? What do you mean Son of God? I'm not talking about Jesus here, not just yet. We're talking about Adam. You think, well, where does it say that in the Bible? I'm glad you asked. Luke chapter 3:23, we see the genealogy of Jesus. And it begins out in the chapter. Well, let's pick up in verse 23. Now, Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Heli. Let's jump forward a little bit, hey? verse 37, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. And so we see the origin, the DNA of God, right there in the original intention. Adam was not so much a creation of God. Now, understand this. When God saw animals in his heart image, when he saw them in his hope, he was being completely creative. Nothing like that had ever even been dreamt of before, because there was no one to even dream it. It was in the heart of God, and God created animals and hippopotamus and kangaroos. You all know kangaroos and deer. You've got a few of those around here. Duck-billed platypus, that's God's sense of humor. But then he came to man. And actually, God was not being as creative. He was being reproductive. It was the blueprint for man was himself. Isn't that interesting? Sin corrupted man's DNA. The moment Adam rebelled, committed high treason, and ate from that fruit. Interesting, we don't see mankind plummet into the fall when Eve ate. But as man was watching this go down and chose to disobey, because he was the one that heard the command with his ears. Eve was in him but not consciously able to hear this. But Adam completely rebelled and believed another word, believed another code. He entered into a relationship with another father. And he received a corruption in his seed that would take 4,000 years to change. 2,000 years before the word could come in a law form to identify sin as exceedingly sinful. And another 2,000 years for the word himself to step into history. My goodness. I love what Miss Billy Brim says. Oh, what a plan. Oh, what a planner. I mean, you could sit there and just bathe in that thought for a day or more. What a wonderful plan that God had as God produced himself in man, but then had a plan to rescue him from that destructive limitation and the attributes and the dynamics that had come from an illegitimate connection to the father of lies, the reproductive personage of a lie. You know, lies reproduce themselves, only they get worse. They get progressively. We want to talk of an evolutionary in the negative. A lie, you lie, you have to lie to get out of that lie, which makes it worse to get into another lie. You know the deal. Don't look at me so holy, guys. Some of you have been there. All right. But the DNA of God is light. It's life. It's truth. It reproduces in truth. Hallelujah. Praise God. So God's own DNA. Now, of course, Jesus identified this when he was speaking, interestingly, to some religious leaders in John chapter 8:44. He said, "You are of your father, the devil." He identified the parentage of what was going on and what spirit they were speaking of in that context. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're going to say that to some religious leaders, man, that's going to ruffle a few feathers. So God's own DNA, God's own word would need once again to enter dirt, to enter a body and become Adam. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and have a look at this in process. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we see this in verse 45. "And so it is written, the first man became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual." God's describing the natural process or the creative process there. "The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust." Well, that describes how you were born physically. But now listen to this. "As is. I want you to say that with me. As
is.
Now think about what that, the weight of what that just said. In the same way, in the similitude, as is the heavenly man. Well, who, within the context of the passage we just studied, who is that referring to? Jesus, the man from heaven, the last Adam, the second man. As is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. Would you categorize yourself in that category?
Yes.
Yeah, well, if you've been raised up together with Christ and made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, then you qualify as a heavenly man. Yes. Hallelujah, both male and female as sons of God. Yes. Praise the Lord. And as we have borne the image, have borne, past tense, the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. What? The DNA of God, once again, available to be manifest in clay bodies on the earth. Now, Jesus got a resurrected body. He came up out of the grave. God raised him from the dead. The same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, the glory of the Father that rose him. And at that point, he got a resurrection body. Well, he could only stay here for a bit over a month in that form. Had to go to heaven. So for us to stay here, we have to have these things. Looking forward to my resurrection one. Trying to keep this one in pretty good shape while I'm here, though. But in the meantime, I'm looking forward to that heavenly body. The guarantee of the purchased possession, which is the Holy Ghost on the inside of us now, keeping us alive in divine health, praise God. Well, we're going to bear the image of the heavenly man in a whole nother form in the same way Jesus did, because Jesus is the forerunner for all of this for you and me. Hallelujah. And Jesus was raised up in a man's body as a resurrected man and sat down on that seat of authority. Took his place in the Godhead as a man, which is where God always intended the family to be.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Oh, I just got really excited just then. Hallelujah. In conquering, Jesus became the forerunner for all born again people to be heavenly. So again, for us to legally stay on this planet, we have to be in a clay vessel. And thank the Lord for that, because while we're in this clay vessel, then the glory of the manifestation of his power through us is given to him, that it's of God and not of us. Amen. We can walk around in a clay vessel prepared, fit for the master's use, but the power and the manifestation of that is of him through us. We become the vessels of the power. We become the manifestations of the fruitfulness of what the Spirit of God and his life is in us, and we become the vessels of the manifestation or the gifts of the Spirit. Praise God. Fit for the master's use. I'm telling you, this is exciting. So we get born in a clay body, but the same seed. Now I want you to see this. The same seed that produced the father in Adam was the same seed that impregnated the womb of a young virgin girl called Mary 2,000 years ago. I can't prove this to you in the scripture, but I've got a suspicion that we're going to see Adam and Jesus, and there's going to be a lot alike in what we observe with our eyes. In Romans 5, we don't have time to look at this tonight, but Romans 5 really breaks it down and says what Adam lost, much more.
Yeah.
Much more. God hasn't just brought us back to square one. That's never how he operates. He's never going to be undone. He's never just going to come back and equal what the devil did.
Right.
Much more now. Hallelujah. Much more now. In fact, I don't believe we should actually even be settling for the restoration of what was lost in the garden. If Romans 5 says much more now, then how much more did God have in store for us and plan for us that we don't even see when we look at the garden? He's not going to just be playing 2,000, 4,000, 6,000 years behind the eight ball. There's going to be a supernatural catch-up in this process, I'm telling you. And that's that. What is going on in this time and this season is starting to spill over into this natural realm. There are things taking place now. There are prayers going on. There's manifestations that are taking place that are heavenly, that are starting to spill over. They're starting to tip over into this natural realm right now. Oh, there are glorious manifestations taking place. We're in a time and a season right now. You can't underestimate the importance of the spiritual decisions that are being made right now. Kenneth Copeland Bible College, for it to come on the scene right now means there is a very special purpose for that available voice to produce more available voices, to go throughout the world, from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around. There is a timely season in play right now, a moed, a moment, a heavenly thing. And heaven is spilling out over into the earth, and he's spilling out through those vessels that are willing and ready to cleanse themselves of all filthiness. Hallelujah. And let the glory of God manifest in us and through us. Man, I'm getting excited tonight. I enjoy standing in this pulpit. It does something for you, I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Praise God. This holy desk. Praise the Lord. The same seed used to produce the Father in Adam was the same seed used to produce the Father in Jesus. The seed was perfect and pure. It was corruptible. Jesus was tempted with every temptation like we are. It was corruptible. Praise God, he stood his ground. Praise God, he used the word. Praise God. And rose victorious. And through Jesus' obedience, death, punishment, hell, and then resurrection, he stood that seed, and he took that seed, rather, to a place of being seated and exalted at the right hand of the Father. The seed now incorruptible. The seed now incorruptible. And through that same seed that went before, it's the same seed which is planted in that gospel, the power of God unto salvation, which is the seed that you are born again and introduced once again to the divine nature, the divine character of God. When a person receives Jesus as Lord and Savior, they receive the Word himself, the seed himself, the seed that bears new life and has that self-replicating power. That's why God gave us words. That's why God gave us words. You, words. Spiritual seed containers, faith containers, production, power, words. That's why God began training Adam with the animals. Whatever Adam said, that was its name. In the Hebrew, it gives a more of a strong emphasis. That was its name, but that was what it was. That was its makeup. Because names are important. That's why God changes them from time to time. He wants to shift something. He changed Abram and Sarai to Abraham and Sarah, and he took the hay, which means to see or behold, out of his name, one from both parts of his name, and added one to Abram and one to Sarai, making Abraham so he could now see. Remember, he said, come out of that, now look, because Abram had a sight problem, right? Seeing I go childless. God said, let me help you with that. Let me give you some sight from my own nature, from my own name. Let me adjust your name to have part of my name, so that you can now see the provider, provision, before you can even see it. God has made provision. God has met your need before you can see it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that was free. That was just by the way. But it's incorruptible seed. Incorruptible seed. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Well, let's read that. Read on from that. 24. Because all flesh is as grass and all the glory. This is 1 Peter 1, 24. All flesh is as grass and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away. That's talking about the natural. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word, now listen, by which the gospel was preached to you. Well, what does Paul tell us? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? It is the power of God unto salvation. Why? In it is the self-replicating DNA of God. Within it is the faith of God. And within that is the dynamic that makes all of this possible. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. I enjoyed what Rick Renner taught concerning this. He said, from the Greek, you can read this, the fruit of the Spirit is love, which is joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Well, that is backed up in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right? Love is patient. Love is kind. You see it right there. Love is those things in manifestation. And so right now we see this love. Well, what does this teach us concerning the fruitfulness and the DNA of God? Well, what do we know about love? Well, God is love. Well, what have we learned though? Also, quickly go to 1 John chapter 4, and I want you to see something, because too many people are walking around, too many believers are walking around, and they're looking forward to one day when they get to operate in the character of God. But I want to show you something that should change that for the rest of your lives from tonight on. You should, from this moment on, have a complete shift in your understanding and an explosion of revelation as this is revealed to you right now. 1 John chapter 4. Well, if you back up into 1 John 4 verses 8 and verse 16, both tell us what? God is love. Well, let me ask you this question. How is God? It's an easy answer. I just gave it to you. He's love. let me ask you again. Let's just see if we can get this right. How is God?
Love.
God is love. Amen. God is love. How is God?
Love.
He's love. Well, now listen. 1 John chapter 4 would help if I was there. Oh, well, I am there. Praise God. 1 John chapter 4. And when we look down, we see love in verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is. Now remind me, how is he?
Love.
Say it again.
Love.
As he is,
love.
So are we in this world. That's right now. That's not when you get to heaven. The very character and DNA of God, which produces this fruit. Don't go around saying, God, I need more patience, and I need it quickly. Don't go around saying, God, I need, you know, more love. I need more love to love people with. God, I need. It's there. It was poured out into your hearts by the Holy Ghost who was given to you. Romans 5:5 has explained that. When you got born again, that seed was planted in you. That love was planted in you. That faith was sown into you. I'm telling you, everything you need for life and godliness is right there on the inside of you. And if you'll wake up to that revelation, you'll discover that there is a fruitfulness. And when you discover the fruitfulness, and when you discover that all of this operates out of love, then you'll understand 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and why it's placed between 12 and 14, strategically explaining the very central pillar of all of the manifestations and the gifts of the Spirit. He's been faithful by His grace to produce in you what makes the vessels able to flow with this kind of power. What a God we serve. What an awesome God we serve. Isn't that wonderful? Did you enjoy that tonight? I did. I got something out of that. I'm telling you, my spirit leapt a number of times while I was just delivering that to you again. Just hearing that again, it did my spirit good. It did my heart good. It did my faith good. Praise God. Would you stand up with me for one moment? And I just want to encourage you and just pray over you. Hallelujah. Because I believe tonight there's been a shift. I believe tonight there's been a divine shift in some of your hearts and some of your minds, a renewal. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus over each one of you, over every person in this room, every person watching on the internet, through whatever means you're hearing this. In the name of Jesus, may the mind be renewed to the truth and the light and the power of what's just been heard. That we stop with the excuses and wake up to righteousness and sin not. That we allow the power and the fruitfulness of the very DNA of God, by the very seed of God, by the very word of God, to be in manifestation and in strength through our lives. May we go and be the church and be the body of the Anointed One and His anointing. Father, I pray over every person in the sound of my voice that tonight as they go home, as they rest their head upon the pillow, Father God, that these words and the power of your word will be continuing to shift and even teach them and train them in the night hours, that when we wake up, when we go to our place of work, when we go to our place of education tomorrow, that fruitfulness and the manifestation of God will be in operation through our lives. We thank you for this and we bless you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen.